Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 343. Back from the dead.
Yes. We had the festival. We had a to drop the Will Wheaton Cecil Baldwin episode. Yes. We had some scheduling issues, but now we're back.
We had some crazy jet lag.
Yes.
In the last 2 weeks, have been home for one day. Been to Romania, San Francisco, South Dakota.
Romania?
Yeah, I was in Romania for the Cluj Comedy Film Festival, which I got to say was awesome.
Aren't you glad you went?
I'm so glad I went.
Oh my God, Romania.
And you went into a salt mine at some point,
right? I went into a salt mine. There's the Salina Turda, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, just outside of Cluj, Cluj-Napoca, which is in the northern part of Romania. It was fantastic.
Is that where the earbud screen, was it in the salt mine?
Yeah, it was deep in a salt mine. It was, of course, we always get great screening times. 6 in the morning in a salt mine. You guys, that's
you know, where I know, it's all about the venue.
Yeah.
So it's great if you're having any sort of bronchial problem. Yeah. Salt air is very good for that. So
where is Romania on the map?
It borders with, I think, Bulgaria. It's Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Is it near Poland? Hungary?
It is near Poland.
Okay.
And Hungary.
Okay.
So it was, you know, it was one of those places where it's, I don't think it's on a lot of American short list. You know, when you think of Europe, everyone's like Rome and Paris and stuff like that. And so I was like, I don't know, let's go to Romania. And, you know, spent like a half a day in Bucharest, which was cool.
Wow.
But then Cluj is in the north, so it's about 350,000 people. 100,000 of them are like college students.
Oh my God!
So it's this very sort of they're calling it the Silicon Valley of Europe now, or it's starting to become that. It's this cultural hub. So it was really fantastic, and the festival, it's been around for 8 years. A local BMW dealership was a sponsor, so we were driven around in BMWs.
Oh, man.
That's great.
It was just like...
And you said everyone speaks English, pretty much,
Everyone speaks English.
We're so spoiled.
I know.
We're so spoiled. You know, my stepdaughter and her husband live in Budapest.
Oh.
And right now, my sister and her brother and her husband...
What are the odds and of that?
Yeah. And their friends are now traveling Budapest, Poland, and Berlin, so...
I'm saying to people, if you're in Europe, check out Romania. It was really, and the festival is really, so I saw a bunch of cool movies that some of them we'll talk about today. And we earbuds screened at this, the Cinema Victoria, which is an old theater that they had remodeled.
Oh, great.
But it must have been gorgeous.
Balcony.
Huh?
It was beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
I got to watch earbuds in a balcony. Like,
wow.
Very cool.
And then we did a Q&A. Which I think I have the video. I'll try to post it. You know, she's introducing me
in Romanian.
In Romanian, so it's all like but then all the questions she told everybody in Romanian. Your questions have to be in English,
right?
Basically, he's a dumb American director, so he can't speak anything but his one dumb language. So
and do it slowly.
Do it slowly. Americans aren't smart.
Yeah.
Look at their election.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's awful. Let's not talk about it. Please.
But it was fantastic, and everybody involved. You know, I want to thank everybody who, you know, this man Bogdan, I believe is his name, who brought us in, and Daniela, and the whole staff of the festival was just fantastic. We had a great time.
Very cool.
We had a great time.
How many days were you there?
Total of about 5. So it was 7 days gone, you know, 2 travel days on either end, and then about 5 days there. It was great. We had great food. It was
What you know, kind of food is there?
Well, it's actual Romanian food is nothing that I as a vegetarian can eat.
Right. A lot of meat, a lot of stews.
But just in general, they had really fantastic restaurants. And architecturally, it was like, you know, there's medieval times, and there's like Russian era, Soviet era. It was really remarkable. So, you know, I was in Europe. I went to some churches.
Earbuds is still taking you all over the world.
Earbuds is taking me all over the world. So it was really cool.
Well, we're excited. We've got a lot of movies to talk about, but also we've got a couple sponsors we have to catch up on as well.
We've got to catch up on a sponsor.
This episode will be brought to you by Harry's Razors and Casper Mattresses, but let's talk about Harry's Razors right now.
Well, let's talk about Harry's Razors.
Polish up your man face, Graham.
I was in Romania, and I shaved with my Harry's Razor.
Nice.
And there's this new standard.
If you're in Romania, do you have to shave the other direction?
Yeah. Yes, Chris. That's how the world works. Absolutely, buddy.
No, it's still north of the equator.
Yes. It's only in Australia.
I'm interested in Harry's razors for my husband. Tell me about it.
I'll tell you exactly all about it. That's our guest, Kathy Ladman, by the way. Yes.
Hi. It's not for me. It's for my husband.
I don't judge.
Friend.
I just asking for a friend.
I'm asking for a friend.
So I've been using these razors since they became a sponsor like a year or so ago, mm-hmm. and they're fantastic. And they've now they've improved them. So now they have a grip handle, which I like because I tend to shave in the shower. And they've improved the blades. They've now added on the back. Some other razor companies do this, and Harry's started a little one blade on the back to get. I got a couple freak whiskers right under my nose that I can't get because when you've got the lubrication strip, you can't get under it.
Close enough, you mean?
So I go, I get it. Although be careful, one time I wasn't paying attention, I cut my nose.
Oh, okay.
Fair warning.
Fair warning. Be safe. Don't go freaking it up in there.
Don't go close your nose.
Don't close your nose. Don't give yourself a Romanian shave.
That's a Romanian necktie.
If you put Romanian in front of anything, it sounds either like a sex act or like a mob torture.
Yeah.
It does,
you
know? Really. Yes.
Oh, you're
right.
In a Romanian salt mine, huh? Somebody got a little Romanian.
Someone's in prison.
Yeah. You got to pay a lot of money for that.
Give me back my money. They ought to give you a Romanian jet lag, you know, like everything sounds, it could be. So here's the thing though, what Harry's has is,
they're giving away free stuff.
Free stuff. You get a free trial offer, which comes with a razor, and the shaving cream. And if you do coupon code comedy film nerds, you get a special bonus. You get free shave balm. It's good stuff. I like, and they come, I'll tell you this, they're all under 3 ounces. Travel size.
Oh, great.
Travel size.
That's great.
Perfect.
Boom. Road comic.
Is it in a tube?
The shave balm? The shave balm now is in like a little
squeeze bottle,
little squeeze
sort of?
Squeeze bottle thing. Mm-hmm. Pop top squeeze bottle.
Okay.
And then the shave gel comes in sort of your standard metal shave gel can. Mm-hmm. So if you go to harrys.com, HARRYS, and use coupon code comedy film nerds, all you got to do is pay $3 for shipping and you get a sample of all this.
Oh, that's so great.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
I've been sharing.
What's different about their razors?
The price, for starters.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's other razor. I used to use a more expensive brand of a similar style, the three floating blades and all that stuff.
Right.
Way expensive, $4 or $5 a blade.
I know. I can't believe that when I get refills for my
husband.
Yes.
These are, like, even when we don't have a coupon code offer with them, I've rebought. You know, I've re-upped with Harry, so I think.
All right, I'm going to check them out.
It's a good break.
Yeah, I'm going to check them out.
A lot of the sponsors make money too. It's like, as hosts, we end up buying a lot.
Well, they
of
get
the
us hooked
too.
On it. Yeah. They're like drug dealers.
Right. So first one's free.
So all you have to do is go to harrys.com, HARRYS. Plus shipping.
That's how most drug dealers do that.
Yeah. Plus shipping.
You have to pay shipping.
And use the coupon code
like
Comedy
it.
Film Nerds.
Yes, I'm sorry. Comedy
That's
Film Nerds. That's right.
Use the coupon code Comedy Film Nerds, and you get this amazing trial offer.
So let's, I also want to thank everybody. I did a Doug Loves Movies in San Francisco. That was a lot of fun.
Did it drop yet?
I believe it has dropped from Cobb's in San Francisco.
And what did you do in San Francisco?
Doug Loves Movies podcast.
Oh, fun.
Which was a blast.
Oh, fun.
And then I went to game five of the World Series. I got to see the Cubs win a World Series game, and they're still alive, and I'm watching
that
is them tonight.
So, oh, my
it was the
God.
Coolest thing
you traveled all over the place. Are you from Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And a friend goes, I have a ticket to game five. And
wow.
I'm just like,
I'm taking it. Yeah.
I go, I'm in. He goes, are you sure you could make a lot of money? He goes, just pay me face value.
Oh, my God. Like,
he could have made $5,000 on this until they lost two in a row. Then the price dropped. And now that they've won again, now the price is going. Yeah, anyway, so.
That's a nice friend.
Yeah. I had a blast. But let's introduce Kathy Ladman.
Okay.
You've been a stand-up comic.
For a long time.
Don't say that discouragingly. Like,
well, for 36 years I've been stand-up comic.
I met you in Philly when I worked at the Funny Bone. It was the first time I met you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, many years ago.
Philly or Pittsburgh?
Philly. I was still in college.
My God.
Yeah, I thought you were amazing then.
Philly had a funny bone? This is how old I am. Philadelphia is a city?
Yes.
People live there?
Wow.
Is there a bell? It's broken.
Have they fixed it
yet?
Wait, where was the funny bone in Philly?
On South Street.
Oh, okay. Yes, I recall. Okay. Okay, right. Wow. And I was a teacher in Philadelphia. I'm older. I'm well older than you guys. But I was a teacher for 1 year outside of Philly in Abington. I taught 8th grade English.
Wow.
In 1976, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Yes, I know.
And that's when you decided I'm going to be a comedian.
Well, I always, yeah, I wanted to be a comedian. Probably since I was about 13, I decided this is what I wanted to do.
What got, who did you see, or what did, like, was it a movie, or did you saw comics
I just
live?
Used to watch comics all the time on the Ed Sullivan Show, you know, and then whatever shows had comedians on TV, I was watching them, and then my parents had Von Meter's album, First Family, and then my real kind of solidifying influence were Nichols and May. My parents had a Nichols and May album, which I still have, which has been signed by Mike Nichols, but not yet by Elaine May. And it was called Nichols and May Examine Doctors, and I used to listen to it all the time, and I memorized the entire album. I'm sure I still know it. And when I went to sleep at night, my mom would come into my room and I would say prayers. What's that about? And I would do a selection off the album for her. And I don't think she really quite got it, but she just listened. And then I got to work with Mike Nichols a couple of times,
really?
Too. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I have a really insanely hairs on the back of your neck raising story about the kind of 360 moment I had with him. Just doing all of a sudden standing next to him while he was setting up a shot, just randomly standing shoulder to shoulder with him. And then I started doing this, band on the album. I started doing it and he answered back and we were doing it.
Ooh.
I know. And it was like, my God, I was like 8 years old again.
That's insane.
It was really wild. So that's kind of that was what influenced me. But it took me until I was about 25, almost 26, to really start doing it.
And now you're involved in a Showtime show right now.
Yes,
right?
Really exciting. I'm a recurring character along with some other fellow comics. Rick Overton is also in it, and Don Marrera. It's called I'm Dying Up Here. Executive producer is Jim Carrey, and it's based on a nonfiction book written about the stand-up scene in L.A. in the 70s. And this is a fictionalized version of the book.
Of kind of what happened.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's, I'm sure, I mean, a lot of it is extrapolated. I mean, some of it is probably based on incidents, and some of it is imagined.
Now, are they? I haven't seen the show, but
it's not on yet. It's not going to be.
That's why I haven't seen it.
Right, I haven't seen the show, but it's. I think it's going to come on in the new year whenever they do it, March or.
Well, let me ask you this though. So, are they having? Is there like an actor playing Sam Kinison, or is there like a Sam Kinison type?
Well, at the first table read that I went to, which was not the pilot. It was the next episode, the one that, you know, after it was picked up. The character names were real. They had Gabe Kaplan.
Oh,
they
yeah.
had, I can't remember who else was in it, but then they changed it. And I wonder if it was legal reasons,
right.
whatever.
Right.
But I did notice in this script that they had a couple of real names in this script and I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm really not sure how they're going to do it because they can't use these real people because this is the 70s. They don't look like,
right.
you know,
right.
they're going to have actors playing these people, but they're very small mm-hmm. parts. But, you know, they are having an actor who plays Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, and it is called The Carson Show. But then the other people, like the booker on The Carson Show is not named Jim McCauley. You know, they're different. They have different names, but there are definitely based upon these characters that you will, I think that will be recognizable
right.
to a great degree.
Richard Pryor and...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
It is cool. And the scripts are unbelievable. I mean, my God, they're so good. The stories are so compelling. They're funny, but they're heartbreaking and just so well written.
What could you compare it to?
Ugh. I don't think anything. I know I'm Jewish, and those sounds like come out of me sometimes. That they don't necessarily mean the same as when they come out of other kinds of people, maybe. I mean, when I say, you know, you know, like a lot of times, like Jewish women will go, ugh, that's so beautiful, when ugh actually means like
it sounds like it's horrifying. Yeah.
Yes, but ugh, you know, ugh. Anyway, but I don't even know what I meant when I said it, but basically, I don't think I've read anything, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything about comedy that has portrayed it
this way
so accurately in terms of what it's like being a comic and what the world around it is like in Hollywood.
And also a very specific time in comedy.
Yes.
The 70s in L.A.
It's a period show.
It's a different...
Oh, it's definitely a period show. And the way I'm dressed, we're all dressed.
Mm-hmm. No cell phones.
It's fantastic. No cell phones. And, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also
waiting cocaine. To get stage time. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, a lot of cocaine. Yeah. And there was The Tonight Show was it.
Right.
Yes.
That was it.
Yeah.
There was no other. There wasn't 15 shows and Comedy Central and all this
stuff.
No,
I mean, there were other late night shows that I recall then. I mean, I can't remember what dates they were. I mean, there was the Joey Bishop show for a while.
Right.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when that was on exactly, but there was nothing, excuse me, there was nothing that compared to The Tonight Show back then. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had 100%. Like, he had all
that
the power.
It.
That was the
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was the
Oh, right.
So that's kind of what's going on.
And that's coming out in January?
Well, I don't know. January, March.
Right.
I don't
Next
know
year.
when they roll it out. Sometime
Next
in 2017,
year.
Yes.
So let's get into some movies.
All right.
Yay, I love movies.
I want to talk about...
I do. I could watch them all damn day.
I want to start with the new Godzilla movie, Shin Gojira. I'm sure I butchered that. Neil's not here.
Gojira.
This was a really interesting Godzilla movie. I was really excited to see this movie.
Is Gojira Godzilla?
Yes.
Is Gojira.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha. And one of the interesting things about this movie is every single Japanese Godzilla movie has been a, quote, sequel, and they've never really rebooted Godzilla. This is the first one that's like an actual full reboot of Godzilla, because every other film actually acknowledges the original 1954 film. Whether you have another monster or whatever, it's always, after that first film, it's always Godzilla exists, he's back, he's going to destroy everything. This one starts off with Godzilla actually evolving. So he takes these different forms before he actually becomes Godzilla.
Really?
And it starts off like it's almost like baby Godzilla, but the form he takes, it's not quite, it's in the trailers, but it's not quite Godzilla. But there is a clear parallel when, quote, baby Godzilla comes on the land for the first time but has really no arms and legs and is creating flooding that looks remarkably similar to the earthquakes and tsunamis that Japan had just seen a couple of years ago.
Wow.
The way the water moved, the way the cars and everything flooded, and the way people ran.
Wow.
So there were some interesting parallels. Here's where the movie did not work. The movie had a little bit of a sense of humor to it, which was good, but... it's like a Saturday Night Live sketch that goes on far too long. Like, you have this commentary on Japanese bureaucracy. It's like, all right, a monster's appeared. Okay, we need to have a meeting. Now we need to have a meeting for another meeting. Now we need to have a meeting, like, in another meeting room to talk about the other meeting. That's funny and a great commentary for, like, 5-10 minutes.
Right.
You can't do an hour of it.
Oh,
yeah.
It just went on and on and on. And then you have... you know, these conspiracies of like, you know, the Americans get involved, but then they send an American attaché who is actually Japanese, who is, you know, looks like she just came out of a maid cafe and is saying that she's going to be president someday. So there's a lot of these weird commentary things. And then there's also, it's like, not that far off. But it was, It did some interesting things, but it also fell flat in a couple of places. I'll tell you who, if you want to read a really great written review, Rick Myers has a great review on the site, and he goes through point by point, like what kind of fell short. So I'll tell you, the character design and the special effects were all better than they normally are for Godzilla movies, but the actual story and the commentary, it just like it felt like you were just watching a circle going over and over again. And there actually, you know, I never thought I'd complain about a Japanese Godzilla movie like this. There wasn't enough Godzilla. It took too long to evolve, and then it kind of ends on like a cliffhanger, like, oh, what's going to happen next? You know, what's the next evolution? And I'm like, well, no, you could have gotten into that 45 minutes ago. I don't need another... movie to wait for that. So it's definitely a hit or miss kind of Godzilla movie. It does some really cool things, and it also does some things where you just kind of scratch in your head. Now, that could be also a cultural difference, like, you know, maybe the Japanese audiences love seeing the commentary on meetings for an hour. I was a little bored by it after that.
Yeah, maybe their film reviews are like, not enough meetings in this
movie. more bureaucracy.
We need more memos.
So it was that weird thing, like, oh, I like where it's going. All right, now stop going there. That's enough. I get it.
Well,
what about
like special effect-wise? How was that?
You know what? It was definitely, I found the special effects the most interesting in the beginning, with Godzilla evolving and the destruction of like a smaller Godzilla through Tokyo. And the way it paralleled the tsunamis. Once we get into full-grown Godzilla and the regular, you know, airplanes and tanks and shooting, it looked a little more familiar and not as different or interesting. But it was still, obviously, every Godzilla movie, the effects improve.
Do they ever, go... I mean, I only saw, like, an old Godzilla movie, like the ones that everybody has made fun of, you know? But what is Godzilla's raison d'être? I mean does anybody know, like, why Godzilla does what he does?
Well, it's a commentary on pretty much, you know, nuclear proliferation going all the way back. Actually, I should say the atomic bomb it's a huge commentary in response to that many years ago.
Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Many years ago. And then it's always had an environmentally themed message, and how ultimately mankind is going to destroy the planet with our technology.
Wow, well, that's fairly prescient.
This was in that direction in the 50s. This is, but,
right.
And now,
right.
As
now
we,
it's happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Now we're getting closer and closer.
Right.
The Japanese films have never really strayed too far from that theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even one of the things that the last Godzilla movie, the American one, did correct was to tap into those themes a little bit, even though you just never saw Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
It's miles away and miles better than, like, the Matthew Broderick nonsense, that Godzilla
movie. The 1998
movie.
Right.
Something, yeah, around there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So it's a mixed bag, the new Godzilla movie. And it was also... like one of those things where they underestimated the demand. Like I was saying, like, I got to go to Lemley to see a Godzilla movie. You know, it was sold out completely. And and they had to add screenings. And the only times they could add screenings, they were adding like Saturday morning and like weekend morning screenings because there was such a
demand. And small theater,
movie.
Right?
No, it was
oh,
massive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But just on one screen.
Just on one screen.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Which Lemley theater is massive?
It was the one in North Hollywood, I think. Yeah, it was
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's a weird Lemley where it'll play like, you know, Avengers and then art house movies like in the same theater.
Right.
So let's go to the guest next. Do you want to? Oh, I want to hear about In the Valley of Violence, movie that you saw.
I'll tell you, I do love movies, and this assignment. You know, first of all, I contacted Chris. I didn't even know. I don't do pay per view. Mm. I mean, I know physically how to do it. I mean, mechanically, but. I'm not used to going there and seeing. I didn't even know you could see like some first run films there. Mm-hmm. So I had to ask him a couple of times, and he said, "Just go down to
this
new
was
in
the
theaters."
Todd Glass effect, helping someone actually see a movie for the the movie.
Well, Todd's a different story. Yeah. Todd physically doesn't know how to go to a movie. Like never watches them. He doesn't like. I don't think he understands the technology. This is a little different. This is just.
By the way, do you know Todd Glass from Philly?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know that I emceed, this is a slight departure, I emceed his very first show.
Really?
Wow.
When he was like 16?
17.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Pretty wild. Yeah. So. I know. He was wonderful. So I went to pay-per-view and I looked through the films and I looked at some of the reviews and looked at some of the plots, and I decided I would watch this film in the Valley of Violence. And it's a Western, which I love. I've been watching Westworld, by the way, and I'm loving it. Do you watch it?
No, I mean, it's good though.
Really good. And I do love Westerns. I really do love Westerns. If they're good.
Mm-hmm.
And it starred Ethan Hawke. and John Travolta, which I found compelling. And then there was an actress whose last name was Farmiga, who looked very much like Vera Farmiga. And I thought, well, that's not a common name. And it turns out that that's her sister.
Oh, wow.
Thaisa. God, I thought she was her daughter because she really looks quite young.
Well, there's seven kids in that
family. Yeah, there are seven kids in that family. So, right. So, anyway, so... it was...
They're like Ginger Baldwins.
Right.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I had bigger hopes for it initially. And then I found the characters to be very cookie cutter. I found some of the shots to be real. Like, there was one shot where somebody's about to shoot someone, and then... you can see them kind of facing off, and then the bad guy gets shot, falls out of the frame, and then there's somebody standing behind. I mean, I've just seen that shot so many times that, there was just something about it that didn't really satisfy me moving along. I didn't understand.
What was it about? Like, what was the?
Well, it was about this. You find out that Ethan Hawke, who's on horse with his wonderful dog, with whom they have to do too many tricks. It was too. Oh, they made the dog almost too cute. But I'm such a sucker for dogs. I mean, and you know, in the movie, they tell you right off that someone kills his dog, and then he goes for revenge. You know, he avenges the death of his dog, and I was like, oh no, when's the dog gonna die? I can't, you know, I just hate that. Sue Kalinske? She used to do stand-up. She's a good friend of mine. And she loves dogs. And she says that whenever she would watch an old Bonanza and there was a dog in it, she got sad because she knew that now that dog was dead. So, I mean, I don't like seeing any pets die, but I knew that it was part of the plot, so I braced myself. And so these guys, there's some sadistic guy who's like full of himself and you don't really know who Ethan Hawke is yet. And anyway, the sadistic guy who ends up being John Travolta's son, John Travolta's character was interesting, but this guy who plays his son, the character was just very, very kind of bowling pin type character, you know. He was just full of himself, and you don't really know what his story is. And he has this girlfriend, and he mistreats her. And why does she love him? And you know, I didn't get any of that. Anyway, so they end up killing his dog because they know that that's the way to get to him. And then they think they kill him, but they didn't. And then he comes back to. Basically, and it's like this town that used to be a mining town that's almost completely deserted. It's just the way they say it, it's filled with dimwits and nitwits and just bad guys. And you know, there's a handful of people there, and I don't even understand why they live there. There were like six people in this town. I mean, how did they go on? There's a hotel, there's no one there. I didn't see a grocery store or anything, a dry goods store. Actually, there was a dry goods store that he went
general
to.
General store?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. There was a general store. But you know, and you end up finding out that he deserted from the war. Uh-huh. Ethan Hawke deserted from the war. And he just couldn't do it anymore. He left his family because he was.
It just got too convoluted.
There were too many pieces that weren't really woven together in a satisfying way. Mm-hmm. You know, that he could leave. I can't remember exactly why he just left his family. I think maybe because he was a deserter.
Yeah,
and he couldn't go back.
Yes.
You know, I wasn't quite sure of that.
You wanted to go to a town with six people?
Yes.
Well, no lines. He was just right, exactly. He started traffic. But I was disappointed. I really was. It was atmospheric in an interesting, in a very empty way. I mean, like, it was just, there was nothing to it. And the sign for the town was like, you know, maybe as good as a garage sale sign, you know. And I remember thinking like, boy, you know, they didn't put a lot of effort into that. And then you see, and then you see the town and, you know, it sort of matches the sign. But it was interesting because I would never have seen this movie.
Right.
And so the assignment was really... It was good. It was good. It was a nice adventure, all you know. Right. But I wouldn't really recommend it.
Right.
Fair enough.
But and I wonder like who was doing whom favors, and right. I mean like to get John Travolta and Ethan Hawke to do this film.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the director, the writer. Who knows?
Producer.
Who knows?
Somebody. Yeah. Somebody made a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about Swiss Army Man, Graham. You saw this movie, and I was interested in seeing this movie. It felt like a Weekend at Bernie's meets like Castaway kind of feel to it.
Yeah, it's here's the thing about this movie: it is so bizarre and inventive, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much for me to say about it that won't reveal it.
Right.
So, I just revealed my whole movie. Is that bad? Okay. All right. All right.
So I'll say this. It's cool what Daniel Radcliffe is doing, because he obviously could just stay, if it mattered to him about being a big A-list person, he could just keep making A-list franchise movies because has more money than he knows what to do with. Mm-hmm. But I always like it when somebody achieves that sort of level of fame, like obviously your Harry Potter, your James Bond, or somebody like right. that, and then does a really...
And your Harry Potter in eight movies.
Eight movies. Wow. Eight movies. His smallest residual check will be more than the three of us will ever make combined in all of our lives. You know, like, so... This movie is so, it's a bizarre film. And of course, because Paul Dano's in it, he has to play a guy that's
a weirdo.
And so, so Daniel Radcliffe, we researched, he demanded to be in every shot, even though they made a dummy of him.
Right.
I was watching this going, the shooting of this seems really hard. They're out in the woods. They're in the water.
Can you tell me what this is just basically about?
So basically, here's what it is. I'll read the...
synopsis?
I'll read the synopsis on IMDb, so that way I'm not straying from anything.
Right.
A hopeless man stranded on a deserted island befriends a dead body, and together they go on a surreal journey to get home.
Oh, man.
So that's the plot of this movie. That's what's going on. And Daniel Radcliffe is the dead body, and Paul Dano is the guy that's stranded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, crazy stuff starts happening, and the whole question is this really happening, or is this Paul Dano just losing his shit because he's been stranded for too long?
Right.
And as it, you know, it reveals some, it's, there's some amazing scenes. There's some hilarious scenes. There's some scenes that are, you know, really kind of weird and uncomfortable, but in a good way. Like the filmmaker is doing, it is really messing with you, not in a contrived sort of look at me being a director kind of way, but a very interesting way to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting way to tell a story. And it's it seems like the kind of movie that's so out there, there's probably going to be people who are just going to be watch it and go, nope, nonsense. And then there's people who are going to be really intrigued by it. Mm-hmm.
Like people who liked what would like this, do you think?
Lars and the Real Girl.
Something like that, maybe. Right. You know, like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind comes
right.
I think about that, like
something where you question whether you're what the reality is
exactly.
Okay.
And you're not sure.
So it's more interpretive to the viewer, perhaps. It requires more of the viewer. It's more.
Yes.
There's more subjectivity to it.
Yes.
Okay.
Some art comes to you. Some art you have to go to.
Yes. Right.
This is one you got to go to.
You got to go to, and then. You know, it's, I don't want to say anything more because I don't want to reveal anything, but it's just, it's worth a watch in the sense that it is really interesting filmmaking, and you've got two actors. It's just the two of them through a whole movie.
Right? Wow.
I mean, there's a couple of people towards the end or whatever, and there's some flashbacks, mm-hmm. you know, but it's really cool.
That sounds mm-hmm. interesting. It's Is it currently in theaters?
I saw it on the plane, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sure you can see it on VOD or something
right,
like that.
Right, okay.
You know, it was really intriguing to
watch.
Oh,
that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Cool. I definitely want to check it out. All right, let's talk about The Accountant.
All right.
I saw that.
Did you see it? I did.
Okay.
And this was a really interesting movie because at the beginning of this movie, it almost tricks you into thinking it's a good movie. And then you realize it is not. And then it just spirals completely out of control from there. This is the movie equivalent of a four-year-old wanting to be taken seriously as an adult. That's actually what this movie is. It's so serious, like, and it's so it just feels like so polished, but every direction it goes in is absolutely ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah. It's everything from like okay, you have this setup of the accountant, which Ben Affleck's character, where he has high functioning autism, so he's very good with numbers and he has other things, but he had a lot of trouble growing up. Okay, got it. I'm all set up. No other character in the movie gets that kind of character treatment at all. Mm-hmm. Everything else is, okay, you're damsel in distress, you're Bond villain, you're abusive father. Okay, that's it. Like, everything else is a piece of everything. Because I get that he's has high-functioning autism. It's going to cause him a lot of problems in the workplace, even though he's going to be brilliant at his job as an accountant. And then he becomes basically an accountant for the mob and criminals. And then there's a little side plot because the parents, the father was in the military, didn't know how to deal with it. So he decided the best way to deal with his son's autism was to train him to be an assassin. Like, what?
Seems reasonable.
But yeah, see, so he's got like a Muay Thai instructor. He's teaching him firearms. And like, and he has a brother too. I'm thinking the brother must be thinking, what did I do? Why do I have to do all this training really? Too? I'm like, this is insane. So the only reason for that to happen is that to make him a cold-blooded killer towards the middle to the end of the film. Because, oh, well, now he knows how to kill people and he's doing it mercilessly. So clearly this was a completely contrived plot point. And then you're thinking, well, that's probably as dumb as it's going to get. Nope. It starts to get even dumber as the movie progresses. And to the point where you're like, well, now it's just – these are random pages from other scripts that just happen to get into this movie.
Kathy,
did you love it?
I didn't love it. I didn't love it, but I found it more compelling than you did.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting to have a main character with high functioning autism, first of all.
And he deserves a better movie.
Yes. Okay. And I thought Ben Affleck was really good. I'm really like something about him that I'm always surprised at how well he does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I don't know why he strikes me as someone who's not capable of taking on the roles that he takes on. Isn't that's so mean of me? But I think he does a convincing job of this character. And I hated the father, and I saw that the father's way of instead of helping the son assimilate in the best way to the world, he says, you know, if he's bothered by lights and sound, then give him more of it. That was the father's approach. Give him more of what assaults him, assaults the son.
And even that never translates to, also, we need to get him a Muay Thai trainer and have him proficient in firearms and knife weaponry.
Yeah, that really was not explained at all. But what I wasn't actually sure about...
I think it's explained by good parenting. Yes. That's what it sounds like to me.
And then they make the father almost sympathetic at the end, in a way. That was... And then I really didn't
like. No spoilers.
Sorry. Okay. All right. Sorry.
But I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that was really unsatisfying. But anyway.
What we're trying to say is watch the first 15, 20 minutes of this film and then make up your own from there.
I mean, he's also very funny. I mean, it's he he's very funny in his responses. You know how underplayed he is. I mean, before you realize that he's autistic,
and he can't function in social situations.
Right.
So everything is effort to him, including just having a normal conversation.
Right.
There is an interesting movie here.
Right.
that got completely ignored for a bunch of killing and firearms and Bond villains.
And is it doing well?
I don't think it did that well. I'm not sure.
It's the same director. It's Gavin O'Connor who did Jane Got It Gone. He did Warrior. He did Pride and Glory. I liked Warrior. I hadn't seen the other ones.
I think it's safe
to say it wasn't a runaway hit.
Okay.
So, but I'm not sure how much it got.
It got a lot of, pre-release press.
But, well, according to IMDb, it had a $44 million budget.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, as of October 28th, it did $61 million at the box office.
All right, well, they made a profit,
however they cooked the books.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
So, yeah, that could be break-even. Right. Who knows?
That could be at a loss.
And the budget of Swiss Army Man was only $3 million.
Yeah, yep.
Wow.
I know. And Swiss Army Man had a very compelling script.
Was that well received?
Yeah, it got critically acclaimed. It was so the thing about Swiss Army Man was it had a limited release. So it didn't go wide, but it did 4 million at the box office. That was as of September 23rd.
Well, that's better than 3 million.
Yes.
I believe, from what I remember of math, I think that's more.
So, it's interesting. I'm actually a little bummed you guys say this because the trailers for The Accountant looked like it was going to be
I enjoyed the ride.
Really?
I enjoyed the ride. I did. Mm-hmm. I did. You know, and I can enjoy the ride sometimes for something that's not, that I know, gee, you know, I'm not going to watch this again. But I I'm very good at suspending my disbelief in a film unless something jars me and it takes me out of it, you know. Right. But
multiple things.
Yes, but right. But there was one in particular that made me. I was always like lifting myself up in my seat. I have to go. But I love movies so much, and this is what I used to do. This is how far back this goes in my life. I loved old movies, excuse me, and my dad is probably the one who turned me on to that. And when I would look through, my parents got this, it was called Q Magazine back then, but which has since become New York Magazine, but it used to have the TV schedule for 2 weeks in it. And I would pour through it and look for all the movies that were showing up. And when it was Christmas Vacation, I would take a yellow legal pad and I would write all the movies that I wanted to see and the different times and were times that they overlapped and I had to make a choice. Wow. And this is, this is way back when there were 7-9 channels that we had. Mm-hmm. And that was the delight of my Christmas vacation, was watching. I remember when I first discovered, A Christmas Carol, mm-hmm. Charles Dickens, the one with Alastair Sim. It's a 75-minute film, I think, and they had it on 3 times in a row that night, and I watched it 3 times in a row.
Oh, really?
Yes, and then they also used to have this thing called Million Dollar Movie, and they showed a movie 11 times during the week, and there was one film, Summer Stock, that I watched 11 times that week. I know.
That's commitment.
I love movies. I love, love movies. Sometimes the thing I like to do is if I have to iron, I have a few shirts that need ironing, a few items in my closet that need ironing. I love ironing. I find it very calming. And for me to be able to put on an old movie and iron. And it doesn't even have to be a very old movie, but just something.
What's your favorite film?
I always go to Chinatown, but that's probably, it's certainly in my top 5 or 10. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a just beautiful film in so many ways. And the way the script and the pieces that fit together and the shots that they, that shot of John Huston waving and then Jack Nicholson is behind him and John Huston is in the foreground and Jack Nicholson said something that exposes John Huston. You see his face change in the foreground. I mean, it's such a wonderful use of the camera and storytelling.
Well,
it's,
especially the way the storytelling in Chinatown goes is it's such a perfect thriller where everyone has one piece of the puzzle.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. And no one can put it all together, including the audience as we go along mm-hmm. this journey with them. And then it gets so, it's so well written. It's like, all right, well, this person has a piece, but isn't interpreting it incorrectly. Or this person has a piece and they don't know what to do with it. And mm-hmm. then when it all comes together, you're like, oh, like every scene, every shot, nothing was wasted. Everything mm-hmm. made mm-hmm. sense when yeah. it was all put together. So speaking of putting everything together, actually, no, that wasn't a good transition.
With Casper Mattresses.
No, Casper Mattresses, yeah.
You know, when you put it all together, it's time for a nap.
It's time for a nap, exactly. You got to go to sleep. Now, one of the things that I
nothing makes you want to take a nap like incest and corruption in Chinatown.
I'm exhausted.
The Casper pick of the week is... this is Casper Mattress. Now, the thing I love about Casper is that, you know, it's so weird. You're like, well, you're going to try a bed online? That's crazy. But they give you 100 days to try out a mattress.
Time Magazine called this one of the best inventions of 2015. And I would have to say yes. Having just, as I said, I've been flying all over the place. I've been staying in all different kinds of hotel beds. Coming home to sleeping on this is great.
It's springy latex and supportive memory foam.
The memory foam, I cannot be a bigger advocate
really?
Of that.
Is the whole thing memory foam?
Yeah, it's just, and I, you know this category.
But it doesn't like sink and, you know.
No.
It's still,
but so because you have the springy latex that actually right. like
it doesn't.
It
some
back.
Memory
yeah.
foams I've slept on. You can tell after a while. Like some hotels have them and they're nice, but then after a while you can tell they become very, like
they don't spring back.
No, yeah, they just.
It's sort of like this, like Norman Bates' mother in the bed.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's a guy with a hat on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they get dementia.
And it's and it's so much cheaper. It's great. It's $500 for a twin, $600 for a twin XL, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, and $950 for a king.
Jeez.
But we're not going to let you pay full price. That would make no
That's
sense.
That's an amazing price.
Yes. Yeah, if you go to Casper.com.
The mattress I had before, I've spent almost $2,000.
Easily $1,000 for a decent mattress, minimum, and then $2,000. Ugh. It's like, okay, well, this is good, but
I feel like an idiot now.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So if you go to casper.com/comedyfilmnerds, use the code comedyfilmnerds, $50 towards any mattress.
Well, that's and the other great. Thing, too, you can have they ship it to you, comes yes. in a box, you open it up, and you got to let the mattress kind
aerate.
Of decompress and right. take its full shape, and then right. you've got 100 days to try it out.
And then how do you get it back in the box?
Yeah, that's
yeah, we didn't tell you that part, ladies and gentlemen.
You can't send it back, but after 100 days, we're going to bank you can't put it back.
That's so. Amazing. And let me ask you about the memory foam. Do you find it warm, like when it's warm out? Is it warm? Is it too warm?
No, it doesn't get too warm.
You get a lot of ventilation?
Yeah, that's the thing I've noticed about it.
That's a fantastic buy.
I really liked it. I it's the best mattress I've had, you know.
Wow.
And I really have such inconsistent sleep from the traveling. It's right. really a
you
thing.
You travel a lot, huh?
Yeah. It's an issue. Like, okay. it's a hard thing I gotta, you know.
Yeah.
And I gotta, whatever, take all these... Valerian root and whatever other
right,
hippie
right.
nonsense.
To not have sleep is like, it's sleep deprivation, the worst form of torture,
it
I
is.
Think.
It yeah. is. You go crazy. You start going crazy.
And I've been tortured. I've been tortured, yes. I used to work the road.
Yeah. You slept in a comedy condo.
Yeah.
Sleep you know what real torture's
awful.
Like.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So now we can go to, now we already talked about the Comedy Cluj, the festival.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, there was a movie I saw there called Art of the Prank.
Yes. Also at SF DocFest.
Yeah, it was at SF DocFest. I believe it won SF DocFest. And it's this guy, Joe Skaggs, who has been doing like big pranks in the media, getting the media to buy stuff. He started as like an anti-Vietnam War protester and has been doing stuff that's just real enough and stages these things. It's a fantastic film. I met him. We're going to try to get him on the show at some point the next time he's in
cool.
LA.
Great.
It's a really, if you get a chance, Art of the Prank. I think they just signed distribution, so I don't know where it's available, but look out for it. It's a really cool documentary.
Oh, that sounds
Very
wonderful.
Cool.
And hilarious. Some of the shit that he pulled is, you can't believe it. And it's so funny. Everything has a very, all of his pranks have like social commentary mm-hmm. and yeah.
Purposeful, right. Like they're purposeful.
Very purposeful. They're not just like a, just a joke.
Like, let's do that.
Yeah. Let's do a flash mob. Yeah. Oh, great. So it's really cool.
Well, one of the things I go every year with my wife and Neil, we go to Halloween Horror Nights so we can actually go and be a part of the classic horror movies. And
that's what they do?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
I've never done that.
It's so good. And it's so terrifying.
At
it's at Universal.
I'll have to do this next year.
And they always do some really creative things with the mazes that you go into. And the most creative one this year by far was The Exorcist. They had an Exorcist maze. And Neil was telling me William Friedkin actually went in and thought it was amazing.
Wow.
We actually had him go in the maze. So you go in, obviously you see, you know, you have bed scenes with, but also it kind of expanded the narrative a little bit. Like you, on the walls, you would see like the flashes of like the devil and stuff. Like you would, like in the movie, you see those little freeze frames.
Right.
But when you're walking past and one shows up like right next to you, it's like, it's the creepiest, weirdest thing. And then you go into all of these weird flashes of like what the devil looks like from the film. And, you know, they're literally like right next to you. As you're walking through, it's dark and then it lights up and scares the shit out of you. But also, since it's a movie studio, it's lighting, sound effects, music, everything. Oh, everything is like a movie stab. Like
How long have they been doing this?
They've been doing it for years, but every year it's kind of expanded and gotten larger.
Oh, my God,
larger.
I can't wait. Now I have to wait 365 days. This is terrible.
So that one was really cool. They had a Freddy versus Jason one that was really fun and really terrifying. Like because they know that you're kind of, when you go every year, you get a little savvy. You're like, okay, well, something's going to jump out at here. But they have so many things going on. You could be looking on one side waiting for something to jump out, and then something will come from the other side. And
does anybody go through by them? Do you have to go? Do you go through one at a time?
No, you go through as a group. But that's it's so well made. Like there's corners and hidden things. Like, you know, so even though you're going through literally with a bunch of people, you're still terrified.
Sure.
And they had one thing. There was a purge area, like an election year kind of thing. So you go through when you're outside, and you go through like, you know, burned out cars and husks, and then people are chasing you through there. And then you get on the tram, there's like a creepy clown area where we were being chased by mimes with chainsaws, which was very entertaining as well.
Oh, God.
But I think those are kind of cool, but my favorite is always the movie-themed stuff. Like, you know, there's the Walking Dead stuff that's always there. But, you know, Freddy vs. Jason was great. The Exorcist was great. They had a Texas Chainsaw Massacre maze that was also absolutely horrifying. Like, usually when you get into, like, the first area of the maze, it's kind of like an introduction to the movie or the story. Like, when you did American Werewolf in London, you were in the pub. Like, literally, that's how the maze starts. You're in the pub.
Cool.
And it's like, beware the moors or whatever. Then you go, the next area is like outside, and that's when you start to see the werewolf.
When
and
do
stuff.
They, and like, how long does it take them to put it together?
Months and months and months.
And is it a different, I mean, it's not at the park?
No,
is
it's
it,
at the park.
But how do they do this? Like,
some of the backlot stuff, like, it's temporary enclosures, but a lot of the backlot maze that's you only see on the tram is where they kind of stage a lot of these mazes.
Oh, my God. You know, when I was 10, and we took a 6-week trip cross country in the car. It was amazing. And I mean, I was at the perfect age. Mm-hmm. And we went to Universal Studios. This is 1965.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing there. Right. I mean, there was the Munster's house.
Right.
And then some cowboys fighting, and then they throwing rocks at each other, and then
the Wild West stunt show.
Yes, and you picked up the rocks, and they were foam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all I remember.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, what
they must have had the tram ride back then.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what you did that,
right.
but I can't remember. There was not much of anything.
And it just expands every year. Like with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre one was the one that threw us, and my wife and I screamed probably one of the loudest we had in a while. We were it starts off in like the restaurant, and they're eating disgusting food, and so there's a guy there, and he's like, he's looking at you like you, and I'm like, all right, well, it's the first room. It's not going to get that scary until you get it. But sure enough, Leatherface jumped out from right behind us.
And oh my
god! And you hear the chainsaw.
Oh my god!
Like, oh my god! And we posted.
And they're real.
Yelling.
They're real people. Who
oh yeah,
doing?
No, they're real people. And also, it's so well put together. The chainsaw noise, smoke and a gasoline smell because they're actual chainsaw like props, oh. but has all of the immersion stuff
yes,
to it.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was so scary. And then you're going through, you have to push yourself through like body parts and like
oh
stuff
my
and, like,
God.
To get through parts. It's so gross. So, but it's a lot of fun. And if you're a fan of horror movies, it's one of those things where it's just fun every year. We love it. Oh, there was a Krampus maze too.
Oh, nice.
Which
What's
was
Krampus.
Krampus was the movie. The movie wasn't that good. Came out last year where mm-hmm. it was a bunch of basically the evil spirit of Christmas then haunts a family. It was supposed to be a horror
okay.
comedy, but it never got there.
Right. Okay.
But the maze is so elaborate. Like you're going through the kitchen and you're hearing all the banging and stuff. You know Krampus is coming. But then they pumped in the smell of gingerbread. So you're smelling gingerbread with the cookies there as you're going through.
For the Christmas
yeah,
element?
Yeah, for the Christmas. Yeah, it was so funny.
Gingerbread's so scary.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it was really fun. I really recommend it. If you're in during Halloween in Orlando or in LA, check out Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Definitely
go
doing
to
that.
DVD and Blu-rays.
Yeah, let's do it.
A lot of stuff coming out this week. Star Trek Beyond. We had the same conclusion on that. An interesting action movie. Not really a Star Trek movie.
Yeah, I'd love for them to actually make a Star Trek movie.
Yeah, that would be nice. Bad Moms was. Go ahead. You want to talk
hilarious.
About Star Trek? Yeah.
I heard it was really funny. I have not seen it. I'll see it.
It's worth seeing.
Yeah,
there's
I'll say
funny
it.
Stuff.
My wife loved it. She had like a girls' night out and went out. And
right.
Loved it.
I loved it.
Nine Lives. This was the Kevin Spacey cat movie. I don't even know if children went to see this movie.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing a billboard. That's all I remember.
It just, those words together just sound wrong.
Like,
the Kevin Spacey cat movie.
What was it about?
I remember.
I don't know.
Like,
don't
you know, he
know.
Turns into a cat.
Was
you
it
know.
A vanity project?
He just always wanted to be a cat.
I want
to
be a cat.
Yeah.
Get me the money.
It has to be some weird, like, somebody. Whose passion project was it? That's what I want to know. Who was like, we got to get this movie made? Yeah.
What was the, I mean, was it a funny movie? Was it supposed to be funny?
Well, it was a kid's movie.
Oh, it was a kid's movie.
But
okay,
still,
okay.
It still has to be a good movie.
Yes, yeah.
But I remember, like, as a kid, I watched, like, The Shaggy Dog and Shaggy D.A., you know, with, was it Dean Jones? He would turn into, you know, the dog, but... This looked like, I'm like, well, is that the movie you're going to copy? Is, you know, the
what is Kevin, what happened to Kevin Spacey? What
I don't know. That was a really weird yes to see that. I'd love to know why.
Okay.
There's got to be some story.
Anthropoid. Like... This is that weird World War II action thriller movie with the weird name that made no sense.
Yeah.
The
worst title.
Of the worst title ever. Yeah, yeah. Of the insect alien invasion
That's
movie.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It sounds
yes,
like
it does. Alien. Yeah.
Yeah. Sea of Trees. This is the movie that I saw.
Yeah,
my God. We talked about that. Absolutely. It's when, you know, the trivia was that people at Cannes booed at a certain part of the movie, as will you if you end up watching it. Even if you're on a plane, you will boo.
You're going to stand up and boo.
Yeah.
Who's in it?
A lot of very talented actors.
Really?
Ken Watanabe is great. Mm-hmm. And
is it Matt McConaughey?
Matthew McConaughey. And also
Watts.
Naomi Watts. That's it.
Right.
So it's very solid cast.
Yeah.
Very solid premise. Very terrible film.
Okay.
The next one is really interesting. I want to see this movie. This is an animated movie, Batman Return of the Caped Crusader.
Hmm.
And this is the first time the DC animated movies have pulled back from PG-13. They've made a PG movie, and they've based it on the 60s Adam West Batman. And they got the voices. So Adam West, Burt Ward, and a couple of other voices came back to do the cast.
Julie Newmar?
I believe so, yeah. So I'm really excited to see this because it feels like it keeps that sense of humor but also is updated. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be a really fun kind of lighter Batman movie. So I'm going to watch it with the kids.
Cool.
All right.
Sounds good.
Yes. And the site spotlight / fan feedback, we want to give a shout out to... CJ Johnson's podcast, Movie Land. CJ's been writing a lot of articles for us on the site, and also he has a great kind of companion podcast to ours over there in Australia at the ABC.
Cool.
And he just interviewed Adam Nimoy about his documentary about his dad.
Oh,
that's
so,
a great documentary.
So you want to check that out.
I haven't
out.
Seen that.
It's good.
It's it's really good. It's I learned a lot about Leonard Nimoy that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of through, you know, Adam,
he it's kind of a nice love letter from it son is. To oh, father.
That's
nice.
He didn't have a great relationship with right. with Leonard Nimoy uh-huh. for a while, and he sort of had to. You hear him in learning about his dad. You yeah. learn about their relationship,
right?
You know, there's a great line. He's like, you know, he was I don't know, teenager or something, or maybe early 20s, and he was fighting a lot with his dad. And I'd have a fight with him, and then I'd go outside, and there's Spock everywhere,
right?
You know, I mean, there's just pictures of, and it was a hard just that.
Very confronting thing right. to deal with. Yes, yeah. that meant many, most of us don't.
I know. Like, how would you? You're having just kind of standard family stuff, but then
right.
your dad is one of the more famous, has one of the more iconic characters mm-hmm. of all time.
And you probably right. feel you people don't know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, people just don't know.
You just know him as Spock.
Yeah.
And then Neil has a great Shriekfest recap over there, and also his. Weekly movie kind of news updates are there. They're really, really entertaining. He picked a couple of really interesting stories this week. And any other, we've been seeing a lot of fan feedback on Facebook and Twitter. We really appreciate that as well. And also, like we said, it's really helpful to good reviews on iTunes, anywhere else you could post about the podcast positively. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, guys, we like all the stuff you write. Anytime we post something, Hamish Moore was talking about, we posted a trailer for Doctor Strange, and he saw it last night. Australia always get Marvel movies a week earlier, and it was pretty rad. Ooh. Dug it a lot. All right, Hamish, cool. thanks for the.
That looks interesting to me.
Oh yeah, I'm pumped up to see Doctor Strange.
I'm seeing
yeah.
it tonight.
Yeah,
you are.
Yeah, a little preview screening. Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fun. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be at the Chinese theater. I think I'm going to see it.
Oh, you got to see it there. Is it in 3D?
I'm not sure.
Do you guys like seeing 3D?
It depends. You know, I used to be very much against it, but certain films, especially, I usually just see certain big movies at the Chinese theater mm-hmm. in their IMAX 3D because their 3D there is amazing.
Oh, okay.
What almost right. killed 3D, and when we were the most critical of it, was then when they were trying to do this technology where a regular movie then was they were slapping 3D on it.
Right.
So it wasn't necessary. It made right. it was blurry mm-hmm. and it was like well, you're gonna kill 3D again
right.
by doing this. And now we've gotten back from that, where interesting movies like Gravity, Hugo, and
right.
New technologies like that, The Man Chinese, which is crystal clear, it's being used
that.
In a more judicious manner, so it's
well, yeah,
more
like
compelling.
The last Jurassic Park movie I saw at the Chinese theater, mm-hmm. and you want to talk about being scared, like
really?
There's dinosaurs jumping out of the screen into your face.
Oh
right.
my
it's like,
God.
That to me is, that's
yeah,
what 3D,
that's a good use.
Right.
Yes. You don't want to see My Dinner with Andre yeah. in 3D. Like the appetizers, yes. just, it just came right at me.
I felt like I was there in that restaurant talking.
And the other movie, I mean, obviously Doctor Strange is coming out this weekend, but the other movie is Trolls. So it's, you know, there's something for every kid in your life yeah. this mm-hmm. weekend, for sure. Younger kids are going to go see Trolls. Older kids want to see Doctor Strange. So mm-hmm. I think the movie will be quite crowded this weekend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm excited. I've haven't been in a big regular theater. It's been all airplanes and film festivals.
Welcome back. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
This was great fun.
Thank you.
This was wonderful. Kathy. Thank you, guys.
So where can people find you online?
You have a podcast.
Yes.
I do. It's on a short hiatus right now. It's called Nobody Ever Listens, and it's me and Mindy Sterling. And we just have guests, and we talk about whatever is on top of mind, mm-hmm. basically. And it's been so much fun, so we're just going to get it back up soon. And Chris is going to actually talk to me about that.
Yeah.
And you also.
Yeah,
we're going to introduce you to the Libsyn website. And,
okay, good.
Yeah, it'll be very easy. Yeah, that's sometimes the misconception is like, oh, where do I get my podcast picked up? You don't. You just do it on your own.
Yeah, because it's already on iTunes.
Right.
So you can mm-hmm. go there and listen to what we've done so far.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's been, you know, a lot of fun. And I'll be at Crab Apples tonight. When is this going to drop?
Today.
I'll be at Crab Apples tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv Lab. Bobcat Goldthwait and Caitlin Gills.
Nice. Shows. Oh, that'll be a good show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, they host this show every week. And I've seen it once. And it's very fun. You know, it's what you would expect it to be. Very fun, very loose, very creative.
I've heard good things about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where else can people find you on the internet if they wanted to say hello?
You can say hello to me at, it's very cryptic. It's my website, kathyladman.com. And of course on Facebook and Twitter, at Kathy Ladman. All very, very mysterious names.
Nice.
And yeah, that's about it. That's great. About it, folks.
Well, great. So, guys, Earbuds is going to be for sale November 17th. That cool. is official. We'll be at the Napa Valley Film Festival November 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. If you go to Napa Valley Film Festival's website, I think it's napavalley.org, maybe. And then we're having a release, we're having a screening and release party at the Hollywood, at the Improv Lab, November 17th. That's at 7:30. It's free, so it's first come, first serve.
Oh, wow.
And then we'll have a little party in the bar after to celebrate it, and the movie will
oh,
be...
Oh, great. I have to write this down now. Do you make a reservation, or you just show up?
You can go, if you go to the improv.com website, mm-hmm. and you can make a reservation, then you holding a seat, basically.
Okay, but you have to. It's first come, first serve.
Yeah,
still,
yes, yeah.
You get make a reservation, and then you got to show up.
Yep. Yeah. It's only 60 people.
Right. Yeah, oh yeah, because it's a small room. Yeah.
So it'll be a nice little intimate thing, and then we'll just
and celebrating the launch of the film will be available that day for
our
sale.
First ever feature film that Comedy Film Nerds has produced.
Oh, that's yes. so exciting.
Yeah. So and then at comedyfilmnerds.com, obviously, but we're selling downloads, standard def yes. for. $7.99 and high def for $8.99.
I think it's $8.99 and $9.99.
Oh, okay.
I have to check. I don't remember what we said. It might be, you might be right. $7.99.
All right, well.
It's in that range.
It's right in there. So
it's in that
range. If you have $10.
Yeah, you're set.
You'll be
yeah.
set. And then we're selling bonus features separately or also with a package. If you buy the high def, you can download.
That'll be all together. And then you can buy them separately. Like if you're a Kickstarter backer, and you just want the bonus extras, I think those will be like $2.99 or something.
And then the DVD will be ready, hopefully December-ish.
Yeah, we're looking at December, January-ish. Obviously, we're working on it, and we want to try to get it done as soon as possible. So we'll keep you posted on that. It'll be some really cool extra features on
yeah,
that,
yeah, we've been
too.
Working on that. But that's since that's physical replication, that takes a little longer. But anyway, November 17th. Check it out.
That's it. Comedyfilmnerds.com. You can download it right from the site. Oh, one thing I do want to mention, too, if you were a Kickstarter backer, since we're starting to do physical rewards within the next couple of months, make sure you fill out your surveys. I'd say 80% of you have. There's still some of you that haven't filled out the surveys yet. And if you didn't get it in the email, just log into Kickstarter in your account and fill it out there because we want to make sure we have everyone's info when the DVDs and posters and T-shirts start going out.
Yeah. All right, guys, that is our show, episode 343. Kathy Ladman, thank you so much.
You've done 343 episodes?
Actually,
holy
more, because then spoiler eps
yeah,
and
wow.
special
eps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that's very cool.
That's a lot.
Nice body of work.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you so much. All right.
I meant that sincerely.
Yeah, no,
I thought it was some kind of dig.
No, we took it that way.
No, it's all a right. compliment. I think what Chris and I do is we always go, wow, yeah, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot
really
of free
lot.
Content.
I thought, yeah, I mean, I was thinking 343 when I first saw it. I thought maybe it's the third season and the 40th season. But man, you guys have really...
Yeah.
Rocked it.
No, that's a wonderful compliment.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
That's
we just
great.
Thought we'd be more.
And we're ending at 350.
More, yes. Yeah. I know you're being humble. I understand. Okay.
We just thought we'd have more money by this point. That's all.
That's
all
supposed to be real life. We all did.
All right. Well, that's our show. Thank you so much, Kathy. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Ugh.